out. That's what I want you to explain.
I can't. I'll read you the best I've read. This is section 3 of appendix 2. The master time distilled in paradise. The master universe is a creation of time and space and of transcended time and space. We are instructed that time is something that is derived from paradise, and we should accordingly give consideration to this quality of reality as one of the foundations of the master creation. I'll give you the references. Page 120, paragraph 3. Paradise exists without time. Page 134, paragraph 6. Paradise bestows time, but not in the same way as space. It bestows time indirectly. Page 120, paragraph 4. Time seems to take origin just above upper paradise. Page 153, paragraph 3. Time is not computed on paradise, but it is on the Havana circuits. Many beings, both created and ascendant, reckon with time. Each world has its individual time. Question. We do not know that this statement applies to the original scheme of things in Havana, or whether it applies to Havana in the Second Age. It's an open statement. Page 120, paragraph 4. Motion is optional on paradise. It is voluntary. Page 133, paragraph 4. Outside of paradise, everything is in motion. It is inherent and involuntary. From an atom to the spheres of Havana, all move. Page 134, paragraph 6. Time is perceived because mind is inherently aware of sequence and because of motion in space. Page 135, paragraph 2. Eternity is the absolute of time. Page 1295, paragraph 1. In the time-space universes, eternity is temporal everlastingness, the everlasting now. Page 1303, paragraph 2. Time and space are associated as a mechanism of the master universe. We may deduce that temporal sequence is a derivative of paradise. Like space, it comes from paradise, but does not condition its source. We know that paradise citizens are quite conscious of non-time sequence of events. Page 120, paragraph 4. But apparently, temporal sequence is, and has been, question mark, a part of the consciousness of the beings native to Havana. We may be sure that Havana in the present age is, at least on some levels of reality, a temporal universe, and it has always been existent in space. That's the best I can do, and I don't think too much of it.
Well, Bill, I wanted to ask you, what you think it might mean by bestows time indirectly?
I have pondered that, Berkeley.
You don't know? You don't have any?
All I do is get a headache. I don't know what that means.
Do the Havana worlds have time?
Yes, they do.
But paradise doesn't.
Paradise does not.
Mm-hmm. In the statement that paradise is non-spatial, how do you conceive
you have area on paradise. But paradise area, being non-spatial, has properties which we do not find in space areas. Distance on paradise is not relative, it's absolute.
Well, papers give us dimensional qualifications of paradise.
They give us paradise.
And how can they do that when they say it is non-spatial?
but they merely give us paradise proportions.
Right, but dimensional proportions.
But they give it to us in terms of one absolute dimension in relation to another absolute dimension. And at no time do they give you the miles, light years, or parsecs across paradise. For example, they say that the edge of paradise is relatively sharp, but paradise is so large that the edge is virtually non-perceivable.
Not sharp, I thought it was 1/10. It was ellipsoid.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
1/10
long. Paradise is flat, and the edge is flat. And the corner, where the top gives way,
I see what you mean.
It's a sharp corner.
Oh, yeah.
But paradise is so big that you're not aware of the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all I can think of is to take a razor blade. And a razor blade, to me, is a pretty straight edge. But if you put it under enough magnification, it's very jagged, like the Rocky Mountains. You see, when you consider time, you know all about it until you think about it. And as I believe it was St. Jerome or St. Augustine said, the minute you think about it, you realize you don't understand anything about time. We feel time, but we don't understand time. Time is a technique of consciousness by virtue of which we become aware of the relationships of sequence. Space is a technique of consciousness by virtue of which we become aware of the relationships of simultaneity.
Well, of positions.
Yeah, but they're simultaneous. The whole universe is present in space at the same time, but in different places. When we think spatially, we think of simultaneous events or relationships. When we think temporally, we think of sequence relationships. And there are three kinds of time awareness: mind, spirit, and personality. Just to confuse the matter. If I live long enough, I'll write a fourth commentary, and then we'll really get into time and space. This is not the place for it. This is just my first effort. I figured out five commentaries on this book. And this is the first one, Study of the Master Universe. The next one would be real simple to write, A Study of the Paradise Ascent. The third one, wouldn't be too hard, a synopsis of history, or history as we know it related to history in the Blue Book. The fourth one would be extremely difficult, a study of reality.
Uh-huh.
And that's time, space, motion, matter, mind, spirit. And I think the main reason for trying to write that one would be to see if it would be possible to write the fifth one, which would be a study of God's will. That's the hardest one of all. I'm not old enough to write that. But if I live long enough, I might get some ideas.
Phil, I never want to do anything bad. I want to go to Chicago this winter and study in on your father's class and comparison just looking at that.
Well, very good. You'll have fun.
Oh,
now, what else are we going to talk about?
I'm going to say a few words, and then I'll change the tape.
Well, Clyde's a real nice guy.
Is
that enough words?
He's a nice girl, too. Thank you, Elliot. Well, can't y'all see how much I got out of these?
I read those more than one.
Well, what I've tried to do in some of these appendices is to bring together what the papers have to say on a given subject.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Maybe you need y'all a cute little thing on angels and but not record it.
And don't record it.
Yeah, don't record it.
Well, we'll just go back to where we were at the end of the first universe age.
Yeah, you just got that one note. You have this top one off, and we'd like to know.
When we finish our inventory of the first universe age, we can call it an inventory of the original and existential and eternal core of reality. If we were to attempt to go back of this, we would be departing from factual reality. Nevertheless, it is possible to entertain valid concepts of that which is antecedent to the existences of the first universe age. Such antecedents would not be factual realities, but they would still be valid concepts. The papers do validate the usefulness of the concept of a pre-Havona state of affairs, page 91, paragraph 1 and 4, paragraph 8. Section 2, source relationships in eternity. There are degrees of source relationship between eternal realities that are paradoxical when viewed from a time perspective. We always want to say, if these realities had come into existence in time, then that which is source must be older than that which is derived. If we could entertain the concept of a zero age, an age prior to the first universe age, then we would have a perspective from which we might attempt to analyze certain of these relationships. The concept of a zero age is the concept of a state of affairs prior to the existence of the infinite spirit and the central universe. In making an analysis of that which is source and that which is derived, we encounter three degrees of source relationship between eternal realities. A. If the infinite spirit and the central universe are eternal, then it logically follows, B, the original sun and the Isle of Paradise are more eternaler, because the original sun is co-ancestral with the Father of the infinite spirit, and because the Father-Son union, which produced the Spirit and Havona, took place in the presence of Paradise. The Isle of Paradise is also the source of that which materialized as the central universe. And carrying this line of reasoning still farther, if the sun and Paradise may be thought of as being eternaler, then it logically follows that, C, the universal Father is most eternalist, since he is father of the eternal Son and the source of eternal paradise. Such a line of reasoning introduces the concept eternaler, the concept of a zero age, as well as the concept eternalist, which would be a pre-zero concept. And if we can imagine a pre-zero concept, then perhaps we can think at least one step behind that, back of pre-zero. Let us look at a hypothetical zero age and then go back into past eternity as far as imagination can take us. Do you want to read on?
Well.
Or not?
I had my question answered. Now it was very interesting.
Do you want to go on, Bill?
Yeah.
All right. Section 3, the zero age. We might try to improve our concept of the zero age by otherwise naming it the first pre-universe age. As we enter this hypothetical age, we are leaving factual reality behind us, but we are not separating ourselves from valid concept. As we take inventory of the content of the zero age, we should first make note of the absence of the Paradise Trinity, the Infinite Spirit, and the Central Universe. This zero concept is pre-spirit, hence pre-Havona, and without the Spirit there could be no Trinity. In the zero age, we find the following to be present. A. The Universal Father. God has achieved dual expression of himself, but not Trinity expression. He has bestowed the absolute and unqualified spirit personality on the eternal Son, and he has expressed his non-deity nature in the coordinate appearance of the Isle of Paradise. be, the eternal Son. The original Son is in existence but has not yet functioned. The first functional act of the Son is in collaboration with the Father and results in the appearance of the Spirit and Havona, thus terminating the Zero Age and inaugurating the First Age. C, the Isle of Paradise. Paradise is present. The Eternal Isle comes into existence as the repercussion and the antithesis of the Father's action which personalized the Son. But Paradise has yet to function as the source of all subsequent physical creation. Outside of Paradise, there are no universes. There is no space, only mid-space, not space. D, the Deity Absolute is present. But are we using the proper name here? Perhaps a better designation would be the Qualified Absolute. The Zero Age is pre-Trinity in concept, and in a pre-Trinity situation, the Father has not yet achieved complete escape from diffusion throughout total deity. The Unqualified Absolute is present, but this presence would be quite different from the later space presence and space functions of the Unqualified in the subsequent universe ages. In the first place, there was probably no space. In the second place, there was probably no space potency. F, the Universal Absolute is present as the coordinator of the deity and Unqualified Absolutes. But the Universal Absolute could have had no active function in equalizing the cosmic tensions produced by the coexistence of absolute and sub-absolute realities. Because in the Zero Age, as we conceive it, no sub-absolute realities existed. Or did they? This, then, is the inventory of absolute realities in the Zero Age. Can we be sure, however, that no sub-absolute reality is present in this age? This is moot. Let us look at the Zero Age just a little more closely. Were the Master Architects present? The traditions of Paradise hold that the Senior, the Paradise Architect, and the three Havona architects contributed to the planning of Havona. If this is true, then these four at least must have been present in the Zero Age. There is a further statement to the effect that the 28,012th architect failed to absolutize because he would have transcended the upper limits of obscenity. This suggests that the entire core of 28,011 were in existence. If the Paradise Architect is the Senior Architect, then he must function at the upper limit of obscenity. Therefore, he must have been not the first eventuated architect, but the 28,011th eventuation, the last possible architect. Reversibility of sequence. The fact that sequence here appears to be equally logical in either direction, forwards or backwards, suggests in this instance we are dealing with non-temporal sequence. The relationship between the Father and the Son presents a similar paradox. If the Eternal Son is the unqualified spirit personality of which the Father divested himself, then in a certain sense the Son is antecedent to the Father. Again, we encounter what appears to be a non-temporal sequence, and we are informed that time, as we understand it, is not a part of life on Paradise, although those who are native to the Eternal Isle are well aware of non-time sequence of events. Were time and space present? We think not. Quite possibly the mid-space zones filled all regions outside of Paradise. Time and space could not have been factually present, but if the architects of the Master Universe were in existence, then time and space could have been conceptually present in the absonite minds of the transcendental architects. Were the Paradise citizens present? If Havona natives are eternal, then it would appear reasonable to assume that the citizens of Paradise are eternaler. But even if this were the case, we know that this designation would not apply to all of the more than 3,000 orders of citizens, because the last of these groups was personalized at the time of the Trinity Man. state, which organized the superuniverses. And this must have been in the dawn of the second universe age. You want more?
No, I've got a headache.
You want to quit right now? This goes on back to the pre-zero concept, and then back of pre-zero. That's as far as you can go.
I have one question still in that. And you don't reverse the order.
I do in the story. Yeah. In the story, I start with pre-zero. But here, why repeat it? Here I work it forward in the story and backward in the appendix. So,
did you say something about
pre-zero? No, back of pre-zero.
Back of pre-zero? Yeah. Of course you know
I'm back of pre-zero. Well, I'll just summarize this. Pre-zero, I call the second pre-universe age. And we deal with total deity, the unqualified absolute and universal absolute. And then I go back to pre-zero. We can take at least one more step in the exploration of the historic past of eternity. We can attempt to visualize a third pre-universe age. The papers do provide such a historic starting point. They refer to it as the hypothetical static moment of eternity. Here we encounter a concept which presents a state of affairs prior to the separation of the deified and the non-deified. But even in this primal concept, the papers do not validate monism, absolute unity at the very beginning. This primal concept is prepotential, that which exists before even potentials have appeared. This must be the static level of total deity function.
That would be
I am. In a way. But total deity even now continues to function on this static level. So this concept is also a factual reality. The continuing existence of this static reality is pointed out in the papers as the continuing reality of the infinity, and in the discussion of the universal one of infinity. At the conclusion of our analysis of past eternity, we encounter factual reality. The past eternal is also the present eternal and the future eternal. You can go one step beyond that, but I thought I'd save that for Appendix 31. You can't go, I don't see how you can go beyond that, though. Yes, Clyde.
It appears that all outside of paradise was
mid-space. Yes.
Now, paradise is non-spatial.
Check.
And everything at this moment outside of paradise was mid-space.
Or non-spatial.
Not space.
Right.
So weren't they one and the same?
Well,
one is non-spatial and the rest is not space.
They tell us that the mid-space zones are relative extensions of paradise. They're not paradise, but they're extensions of paradise, manifestations of paradise, you might say loosely.
All right, go back to that statement. The mid-space, it was a continuous continuum of not space.
Correct.
From paradise
on
to
out,
infinity.
On out ad nauseum.
Right.
Then, at the close of the zero age, dawn of the first age, whatever you want to call it, paradise suddenly blows this mid-space away.
And
this is the room for creation.
How long does the first universe age last?
Since it had no origin in time, it's of indefinite duration. You can't put a number on it.
Well,
Well, otherwise, you're putting a number on past eternity.
From the time it ended, how far back do you think we could go and account for?
We figured 40,000 ATUs.
40,000?
40,000 trillions of years.
Do you think during that time that there was creation of administrative potential for the seventh of the universe going on?
I think if they could have observed the transactions, which is questionable, on account of the dark gravity bodies, they would have looked out here and seen nebulae, just like we look out in outer space and see a big physical universe winding up.
Would you mind kind of giving a little resume in addition to those that you have down there of the creation that was going on? I mean, wouldn't the creator sons and the creative spirits and say the maybe even the Maracha power supervisors
have been out here?
No, I mean, weren't some of those being created? You know the creator sons, don't you? Creator sons and creative spirits, because they had their training.
Oh, I think that let's start off now with a pure first universe age. I think one of the first things that happened was the appearance of the master spirits. Mm-hmm. And I think you've now got the beginning of the end of the first universe age. And at some time then or before, I think the architects of the master universe dispatched force organizers out here into the second space level, the super universe space level, and began winding things up physically, because that takes a long, long time.
Well, the force organizers had to be there too.
Transcendentalers, yeah. Well, but not necessarily in the zero age.
No, but we're talking about the first universe age.
There's no question about all the transcendentalers in the first universe age.
What you're saying, Bill, is right after the appearance of the seven master spirits, we started winding up.
Yeah.
The first universe age, and it took 40,000 years. 40,000 BTU, ATUs?
No, maybe 10,000.
Damn.
ATUs.
Yeah.
I figure if Orvantan is 40,000 trillions of years old, then by reasoning about Nebadon, and this may be pretty cockeyed, I figure 25% of that time they spent getting the thing physically started before the Ancients of Days ever came up. Because Nebadon was the nebulae out of which Nebadon was organized were here for a long time before Michael ever came out here.
So Michael must have been created and given all training there for a few thousand years.
You've got 10,000 trillions of years to play around in here.
I guess he could get some training in that length of time, since he was pretty sharp to start with.
It seems to me that the first experiential thing is the seven master spirits. And at about that time, I can see the spirit person of God the Supreme. And at about that time, I can see the force organizers operating out of here.
And
at any time...
Maybe.
Ma'am?
And maybe the solitary messengers about that time?
They came in about that same time. And about that time, the first of the Creator's sons appeared, long before he was needed. The original Michael, and then the subsequent Michael sons. And they had a long period of training in Havona. And there weren't any ascenders coming up through Havona.
Well, it hasn't been clear to me at all. On how long this one age lasted, because I figured it lasted quite a while for them to create all the personalities and entities that we're going to be working on.
Well,
here.
If our calculation's correct, they had 10,000 trillions of years.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10,000 times as long as our nebula. That's a long time. Yes, Wilma?
Grand Sando was the first one that appeared in the Penelope. Is that right?
I guess so, but we specifically know he was the first mortal to get to Havona.
Have you tried to estimate how long it took him to get there?
No. The only...
You can.
We can put an outside figure on the Paradise Ascent. We know that one of the recent groups of mighty messengers to be Trinity embraced included natives from Nebadon, our local universe. We know that the oldest inhabited worlds in our local universe go back a comparatively short time of 200 billion years. So we know it can be done in that length of time. Now, how much less time, I don't know. But let's say... Well, now, Wilma, that's an outside figure.
Minnie Mae's going to be gray hairs.
I'll lose all mine before I get there. Well, now, let's do a little reasoning here. There are... How long, if you had the means and the health, how long would you like to travel around this world seeing it?